गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी यशोदनन्दन गजजानरञ्जन जमुना तीरावन चारी जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Guru, Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this morning we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, verse number 33. Is that verse number
32?
No, it's verse 33 today. Yes, that's what I have. Apare Vasudevasya.
Apare Vasudevasya.
परे वासुदेवस्य
देवक्यां
याचितोभ्यगात् अजस्त्वमस्य क्षेमाय बधाय च सुराद्विषाम् अपरे वसुदेवस्य देवक्यां याचितोभ्यगात् अजस्त्वमस्य क्षेमाय बधाय च सुराद्विषाम् अपरे वसुदेवस्य देवक्यां याचितोभ्यगात् अजस्त्वम् अस्य क्षेमाय बधाय च सुराद्विषाम् अपरे वसुदेवस्य देवक्यां याचितोभ्यगात् अजस्त्वमस्य क्षेमाय बधाय च असुराद्विषाम् वट् वर्स् अपरे अदर्स् वसुदेवस्य ऑफ् वसुदेव देवक्याम् ऑफ् देवकी याचिता बीङ्ग् प्रेड् फोर् अभ्यगात् टुक् बर्थ् अज अन्बोर्न् त्वं यु आर् अस्य ऑफ् हिम् क्षेमाय फोर् द गुड् वधाय फोर् द पर्पस् आफ् किलिङ्ग् Cha and Sura Dvisha of those who are envious of the demigods. Translation in purple by Srila Prabhupada. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. Undoubtedly, you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods. Purport. It is also said that Vasudeva and Devaki, in their previous birth as Sutapa and Krishni, underwent a severe type of penance to get the Lord as their son. And as a result of such austerities, the Lord appeared as their son. It is already declared in the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears for the welfare of all people of the world and to vanquish the asuras or the materialistic atheists. So, this morning, this verse says, others say, so that means Mother Kunti said something before, in the previous verse that we heard from Pangavinda Prabhu yesterday, Mother Kunti said, some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. And I think Prabhupada mentioned in the purport as King Yudhishthira as one of the king. And others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. That's why he's called Yadava. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in Malaya Hills. So she is giving some reasons what some people say. And then she's saying some other reasons. So others say that both Vasudev and Devaki prayed for you, and that's why you have taken birth, because they prayed for you, and that's why you have appeared. Srila Prabhupada in the teachings of Queen Kunti, which were the famous lectures that he had given about Queen Kunti, the longest, as far as I know, that he has given lectures on some prayers. So in those lectures, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna doesn't need to come to kill the demons. Yeah? He can get somebody else to do that work. He doesn't need to do that. But he comes for the purpose to benefit his devotees. He adds one more sentence. He says, he always looks after the welfare of the devotees, and so, from this instruction of Kunti, we should understand that we should always be concerned with how to become devotees. So this verse, Srila Prabhupada is saying that this verse that Kunti Devi is saying, that Krishna appeared because Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for him, and therefore, Srila Prabhupada is saying that Kunti is saying that we should understand that we should always be concerned with how to become devotees. And then Srila Prabhupada continues to say that the verse that comes in the fifth canto, chapter 18, very famous verse, Yasya asti bhakti bhagavati akinchana bhrava bhaktasya kuto mahadhyana dhavana manorathena dhavati bahi. Asati, that's fine. Asati. So, this verse, Yasya asti bhakti bhagavati akinchana, those who have bhakti in Bhagavati, in Bhagavan, and akinchana, I mean, they have nothing else but just devotion to God, in them, sarva guna tatra samasate surau, in them, all the good qualities of the demigods are there. So how do we develop those qualities that is described, that Kunti Devi is saying, that Srila Prabhupada is saying, that we should be concerned how to become good devotees? And we know that by our dormant love, originally we are all pure souls, and we have pure love for Krishna, and that means we have all good qualities, but it's dormant. So how to revive that? So what I was thinking, that Prabhupada here mentioned, or Mother Kunti mentions about Vasudeva and Devaki. So one way that we can develop our original nature is to hear about those who have those qualities. We have to understand, why is that, what is in Vasudeva and Devaki that Krishna took birth as their son? Just because they're prayed for? I mean, I could sit down and pray, oh Krishna, please, can you please be my son? And I can really pray hard. Please, Krishna, could you please be my son? I only have two daughters. Maybe I could have a son, and it would be nice to have you as my son. Please. Well, maybe Krishna is going to say, well, maybe there's some qualifications are needed. Some qualification. Well, Vasudeva and Devaki, they perform a lot of austerities in their previous life. So maybe I could perform austerities in this life, you know. Follow Kadashi and like fast all day long, and I don't know, chant 64 rounds and do all the austerities. Maybe. But I think it would be nice that for us to hear what kind of persons were Vasudeva and Devaki. We don't know what the austerities they performed in their previous life, but we do know something about how they acted in this life. You really want to know a person, you have to see how they act, how they interact. Just seeing a person here does not tell us anything, but how they interact with others, how they deal with when there's pressure, and how they deal with other friendly people. And so that's how we get to know a person's qualities. So let's go to the first canto. And I'm going to just discuss Vasudeva today and not Devaki, because there's only so much time and I want to finish in time so as we can have questions and answers. So let's look at Vasudeva and what his situation was. So we go to the first canto. And we all know the stories of how Krishna took birth and what happened. So I'm not going to take the time to tell the story, but I'm going to look into more closely how Vasudev acted, and in contrast to Vasudev, how Kamsa acted. So it describes that Kamsa was affectionate towards his sister, and therefore he had become the chariot driver to carry her and his brother-in-law to their home. So that's like, again, we know that being a chariot driver, like Krishna was a chariot driver for Arjun, that's a big thing, because that's, in India, it's like the taxi driver. You know, taxi driver is considered, you know, low whatever duty or job. So, but here, Kamsa has such an affection for his sister, his cousin sister actually, but Prabhupada writes sister, that's how in India, cousin, real sister, same sister. So Kamsa was affectionate towards his sister, and therefore he became the chariot driver. So, while Kamsa was controlling the reins of the horses and was driving the chariot along the way, what happened? A voice from the sky came and said, "You foolish rascal! The eighth child of the woman you are carrying will kill you." Okay. So, Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty, and he was envious and he was sinful. Therefore, what did he do? That's right. He held Draupadi's hair. No, he held Devaki's hair by his left hand. He caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand and took up the sword with his right hand. Now let's pause for a moment here. Kamsa, he heard that this lady's child is going to kill him. So he has to save his life. Yeah? Actually, in the Bhagavatam, in the same story, later on, there's a verse that says, as long as one has intelligence, one must avoid death. But if we cannot avoid death, then no offense. There's no offense. In other words, if you don't protect yourself, there's an offense. If you know that you're going to die, you have some disease, and you don't try to take care of it, that's an offense. You have to. That's what the Bhagavatam is saying. That's not me saying. The Bhagavatam is saying that one should protect oneself. So with one's intelligence, whatever means they have, one should try their best to protect themselves. So Kamsa is just trying to protect himself. Is there anything wrong? Imagine yourself in that situation. Imagine yourself, your Kamsa. What would you do? You would try to do anything to protect yourself. I mean, strange enough, I was reading the Bhagavatam for preparing for this class, and I opened the book. I turned the pages and I was shocked. I saw a silver fish in my Bhagavatam. And these silver fish, they make holes. They eat. They've eaten my saris, my sweaters, previous, you know, and they made holes in the books. So I took my sword out and finished it. Yeah, I got a sword. I finished it. Is that Kamsa mentality? It's I, me, and mine. My clothes, my Bhagavatam, my this. And you're going to come and attack me? Well, let me tell you one thing, little entity. I'm going to take care of you right now. There was no thought about oh, it's poor. Maybe I could take the book and maybe go run outside and let it live out there. Took the book, done. Sad. Comes the mentality. Now, so what was wrong with Kamsa's mentality here, where he's supposed to protect himself? But it is because it's at the cost of another person's life. He wants to protect himself at the cost of someone else's life. That was wrong, at least I think, in my understanding as I read this past time. Because he is supposed to protect himself, but he's ready to kill his sister, who he was just, we heard, was so affectionate to her. So the affection went, I never had affection for the silverfish at any time. So in his case, he had affection for his sister. So that affection just went out the door in a second. It was just gone. It disappeared. So that's Kamsa. So let's see what Vasudev does. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, shamelessly, the great soul Vasudev, who was the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. Now imagine yourself, Vasudev. Oh my God. Here's Vasudev. He just got married. They just had some nice celebration. He's got his new wife with him. And he's going, taking his wife home. And his brother-in-law is ready to kill his wife. His brother-in-law. I'm like, what would I do if I was in the position of Vasudev? If somebody is there killing, you know, I don't want to name somebody, but killing somebody who's so affectionate to me that they were dependent on me. This is a situation. They're dependent on Vasudev. Devaki is dependent on her husband. Probably I would just freeze. Or most likely I would faint. I mean, I've done both those things, actually, I was thinking. I remember I was at my brother's place, and I was just on my own, and I heard somebody coming in, and I was the only one in the house, and I heard somebody come in, and I just froze. I just froze. I didn't know what to do. I just froze. I think it was just Shyamadarshan coming in. For some reason, I didn't think anybody would. Anyway. And one time I just kind of fainted. I was drowning and I was thinking somebody's going to help me. And when I realized nobody's going to help me, I just kind of gave up. What? And I was gone. I wasn't gone, I'm still here. Or another thing I would do is scream. Yeah? What are you doing? I mean, this is your sister. I mean, what, you know, like something would come out of my mouth that would be like, you know, I don't know what, but there would be screaming coming out. But let's hear what Vasudev does. Why is that Krishna has decided to come from as his son? What is that special quality in Vasudev that Krishna accepted to be his son? So this is what Vasudev does. Vasudev, the great soul, we just read, Prabhupada says that he was such a Mahabhaga, such an upright and sober personality that Vasudev talked to his brother-in-law. And this is what he said in that situation, in the situation which is so tense. Think about in your life where you've been in a very tense situation. Extremely tense situation. But this is what Vasudev said in such a tense situation. He says, my dear brother-in-law. He even says, dear. My dear brother-in-law. You're the pride of your family. He's praising him. You're the pride of your family. And great heroes praise your qualities. So he's praising him. That won't even come in my mind. Would it come in your mind? Would anybody here would say that they could praise the person who's about to kill your affectionate person? So he's praising him. And then he said, then he's getting the sight from his heart where he could, by praising him, that it might just melt his heart. And he said, how could you, such a qualified person, kill a woman? No, she's a woman. And she's your own sister. He says, your own sister, and especially on the occasion of her marriage. Like, come on. She's your sister. She's a woman. And she got married. How could you do that? You're such a great person. So this is what Vasudev said. But you know what? Kamsa didn't really care about what he said. Because he was ready to shut the book and finish the silverfish. He was ready to do that. He didn't care what you said to him. It doesn't make a difference. So then what he does is he starts preaching to him Bhagavad Gita. He started preaching to him. You know, you're not this body. You know, taking birth now, you'll get another birth. You know, don't be so attached. So he preaches to him Bhagavad Gita. But that doesn't do anything either. And so then he says, one who has taken birth is sure to die. From death is born with a body. One may die today or after 100 years. But death is sure for every living entity. It didn't work. So then he said, this poor girl, Devaki, is like your own daughter. So first he said, you know, sister, and that didn't affect. So he thought, okay. And I don't know what was happening. Kamsa was just holding her hair and just listening to Vasudev. I'm not too sure exactly what was happening during that time while he was talking, but it seemed like Vasudev had his attention. And so he didn't do anything. He was listening to him. Although nothing was going in, but he was still listening to him. And so he said, you know, Devaki is like your own daughter and deserves to be affectionately maintained. So Kamsa, Shukdev Goswami says Kamsa was really cruel. And he didn't care about what Vasudev was saying, that, you know, you're performing such sin and it's going to affect your next life, or if it's going to affect your fame, and he didn't care. So in such a situation, when he saw that Kamsa was really determined to kill his newlywed wife, he started thinking deeply. Again, you have to remember, Vasudev is in such a tense situation that he can think. He's got the intelligence to think. That's a real training, to be able to think. In the Kshatriya training, that's what it is, that you, no matter what the situation, whatever tense situation, you have to be able to think properly, use your intelligence, and act in the proper way. And so in this situation, Vasudev was thinking, how I have to save Devaki, and especially he knew from Devaki's womb, Krishna is going to take birth. So he had to protect with all kinds of means that he had. So then he submitted his proposal to Kamsa with great respect. So first he praises him. He tries to get the better from his heart. Now he is saying something, and he says that with great respect. This is after he was deliberating what I should do. He was thinking, and I think this might be Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, but it's in Prabhupada's purport. He said, by delivering all of my sons, this is what he was thinking. So we get to know how Vasudev is thinking. So we get to see how Krishna's father, how he thought. So he thought, by delivering all of my sons to Kamsa, who is death personified, I shall save the life of Devaki. And then perhaps, you know, he's wishing, perhaps Kamsa will die before my sons take birth. So he's hoping maybe that what will happen. Since he is already destined to die at the hands of my son, one of my sons may kill him. But for the time being, let me promise to hand over my sons so that Kamsa will give up this immediate threat. So he said that with great respect. But describes, Sukadeva Goswami describes that Vasudeva's mind was full of anxiety. He was very much anxious. And he said, but because he was facing danger, in order to please this cool, shameless Kamsa, he actually externally smiled and spoke to him. So he said with great respect and with a smile on his face. With a smile on his face, just like Divyanga has a smile on his face right now. Vasudeva was smiling and Radhik and Akamanjali smiling and everybody's going to start smiling. This is what happens when you hear the glories of a great personality. It's endearing to the heart. So he smiled and said something, although he was full of anxiety. So it's a very interesting purport Srila Prabhupada writes here. I was kind of shocked by the words that he used. Sometimes one must act duplicitously. Is that how you pronounce it? Duplicitously. In a dangerous position, as Vasudev did to save his wife. Prabhupada writes, the material world is complicated, and to execute one's duties, one cannot avoid adopting such diplomacy. So in case any of you think that Krishna consciousness is Om Shanti 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 Hari Om, no, it's not that. It's not Shanti. Sri Prabhupada didn't show us that example either. So Prabhupada is writing that this material world is as such that sometimes you have to use that. And then again he says, this indicates that one may act duplicitously for the purpose of saving Krishna and his interest. Although these events were prearranged by Krishna, a devotee must try his best to serve the purpose of Krishna. So a devotee should not therefore sit idly and leave everything to Krishna. I was remembering reading this pastime. That's kind of very sweet. But there's so many pastimes that came to my mind actually when Prabhupada is talking about that one has to act in a certain way, diplomacy or duplicitously. I couldn't find that pastime, but something I remember reading about how with the getting the Juhu temple and trying to get Mr. Nair, who was acted so duplicitously in getting land that was already sold and selling it to us, that Prabhupada, I don't know, was it in Hyderabad or something, that the Mr. Nair's guru was there, and when the guru was sleeping, then Prabhupada quietly went and, where was it? In Bombay. Okay, yeah. And then he, while the guru was sleeping, he got the person to come out and sign. All the things. And another one that is really sweet, is when getting Radha Landanishwara. That's a really sweet one that Prabhupada wanted a temple to be open in December or something, and in September I think Tamalkrishna Maharaj went there, and then he was saying, you know, Prabhupada didn't order any Radha Krishna deities, so how are we supposed to get Radha Krishna? Because you can't have a temple and not have the deities there. So they're wondering, how are we going to get the deities? And Prabhupada was asking, so when is the temple going to open and where are the deities? And Prabhupada is not giving the deities, and the devotees have to figure out themselves how to get the deities. And so apparently they put it all out there, and no internet, but however they put it out there that we're looking for Radha Krishna deities. Anybody has Radha Krishna deities? And So finally, one person actually responded to that and said, oh, I have Radha Krishna deities. She wanted to come and check out. So Kamalakrishna Maharaj and a couple other, Brahmananda, I don't know. Anyway, a couple other devotees, they went there. Who was there? Shyam Sundar Prabhu. So they went there and they saw the deities and they said, oh, can we get our spiritual master to come and see the deities? And he said, sure. Said, sure, Prabhupada went there. And so Prabhupada kind of went there and he just kind of sat down there and didn't say anything about the deities and just started asking, you know, how are you doing? Good, sweet talk. He did sweet talk. He's just talking. That's what Varuna does. He sweet talks and gets people to buy things from him, you know. But anyway, so Prabhupada was just sweet talking. And then the guy says, but Swamiji, you like to see the deities? And then Prabhupada just kind of ignored it. So how's your wife doing? How are your children? He got the gentleman to bring the wife and children. And, you know, Prabhupada gave blessings. And then the gentleman said, Swamiji, would you like to see the deities? You know, these deities, we actually got them for some other society, but they're not getting them anymore. So would you like to see the deities? And then Prabhupada said, oh, okay. So he goes there and he sees the deities and comes back, sits down, doesn't mention anything. But Swamiji, would you like the deities? And Prabhupada said, hmm. He said, Shyama Sundar, why didn't you go and see, lift Radharani and lift Shyam Sundar, see how heavy they are. So I think Kamalakrishna Maharaj and Shyam Sundar, they go lift. Oh, they're not heavy. They were really heavy. I mean, marble deities are heavy. And he said, oh, no, they're not heavy. The Papa said, okay. So he just kind of got up and said, okay, bring the deities in the car. So they just, and the gentleman is saying, but Swamiji, he said, yeah, don't worry, we'll take care of them. And he just, deities are brought into the car. And the guy say, Swamiji, but, he said, yeah, then don't worry, we'll take care of the deities. And they just drive off. And then as they turn around the corner, Prabhupada said, stop. And then he looks at the deities. He offers his respects, chants Govindam, tears come to his eyes, and there it was. He says, so now we have Radha Krishna in London. Jai. Yes, it is. It is. Sure, it is. And that's what I'm saying is, Prabhupada is saying, we have to sometimes act like that for the purpose of saving Krishna and his interest. Certainly not us souls can act that way, but one who is pure. Vasudeva was pure. Srila Prabhupada is pure. So when he did what he did, when Srila Prabhupada did what he did, is for Krishna's interest. Look how many hundreds and millions of people have darshan of Radha London Ishwara. Look at that. Thousands of people come and have the darshan. So many devotees are there worshipping Radha London Ishwara. So yes, this is transcendental, which can be done by a pure Vaishnava. No self-interest, it's just to give Krishna to others. So here Vasudeva is trying to protect his wife, and so he's smiling, saying with great respect to Kamsa. And then Kamsa, who is such a cool gentleman, he's such a cool, shameless man. I know what is, that's the word to use, human being. Although he was so cool, but can you imagine, he also had faith in Vasudeva's words. He believed him, because Vasudeva was such a truthful man. He was such a truthful man that Kamsa didn't doubt him for a second that Vasudeva would do that. Even Kamsa, who was so cool, who was so envious, he actually accepted that. And that is so true that actually Vasudeva did what he said he was going to do. my dear King Parikshit, this is Sukadev Goswami said, when Kamsa saw that Vasudev being situated in truthfulness was completely equipoised in giving him the child, he was very happy. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the word is used samatvam for Vasudev, and that is for somebody who is always equipoised and unaffected by happiness or distress. So that is Vasudev's qualification for being a father for Krishna. He was equipoised. That's like one thing is to see somebody killing your dependent, but another thing to give your dependent to somebody to be killed. And for you not to be a liar, you did what you did, what you said, you said what you're going to do, and you are going to keep your word, and giving your dependent to be killed by somebody else. Prabhupada writes that Vasudeva was so steadily equipoised that he did not seem in the least agitated when delivering his firstborn. The self-realized soul is never disturbed by so-called distress or happiness. And this is especially true for an exalted devotee like Vasudeva, who showed this by his practical example. So he's practically showing us how to be equipoised. And so when he brought to Kamsa, you know, and with a smiling face, then at that stage when he brought his first child to Kamsa, then at that stage Kamsa was smiling, and he said to Vasudev, he said, "Oh Vasudev, you may take back your child and go home. I have no fear of your first child. It is the eighth child of you and Devaki I'm concerned, because that is the child by whom I am destined to be killed." So was Vasudev happy, excited, thrilled that, oh my God, Krishna is so kind. I did my part, I was going to give my child, but now Krishna is saving my firstborn and he's all happy? No. Vasudev, he was intelligent. And he knew things, he knew Kamsa. He said Vasudev agreed and took his child back home, but because Kamsa had no character and no self-control, Vasudev knew that he could not rely on Kamsa's word. So this is why Kamsa, this is why Krishna took birth from the womb of Devaki, and the son of Vasudev and Devaki. Unfortunately, I ran out of time because I wanted to present the other aspect of Vasudev later on and how he acted later on, but it's already 9:15. So, any questions on this subject matter? Yes, Sri Devi?
Thank you, Madhumati.
Thank you.
I think it's really important to, like you said, also distinguish between when we hear a certain pastime that a pure devotee may perform, to not try to necessarily like imitate that. So maybe you could speak a little more about that, like, because for somebody who's not a Srila Prabhupada or Vasudev, you know, and they try to imitate, they could like cause Vaishnava aparad, you know, especially if they try to do something among devotees. So I don't know, maybe you could speak a little more about that.
Yes, among devotees, that was my second part of my class, was about Vasudev acting with Nanda Maharaj. Even in that situation, actually, Vasudev acted with diplomacy. But I remember this is when Vasudev later on for the... But let me get to your point, what you're saying. Yes, we have to be careful to be conscious that we do not act in such a way that causes Vaishnava aparad. So we have to be conscious. We have to be first conscious and then Krishna conscious, yes? And so, yes, we have to be conscious and not think that we have the ticket because I am a devotee, because I have spiritual name, or because I'm chanting 16 rounds, or because I'm chanting 64 rounds, or whatever. I can act any way I want to. And sometimes we do have to act in ways that are, sometimes in situations we do act in ways that are maybe not the best way, materially speaking. And to further our Krishna consciousness, sometimes we do that. Sometimes we have to, in such situations, we may discuss with other Vaishnavas and to see whether is this all right for us to act in such a way. I remember Mahatma Prabhu had given a class maybe a couple of months ago, a Sunday feast class. He was talking about a situation where his father was not doing good, and he was wondering whether he was somewhere else in some other state, and he was wondering whether he was doing a lot of preaching activities. I don't know if I'm quoting him right, but something like that, where he then discussed with devotees what he should do, and in that situation devotee said, no, you should go and take care of your father, and things work out very good. And sometimes in some situations devotees may say, no, it's best that you do what normally may not be considered right, you know, socially or morally. Sometimes we may have to do that. So yeah, it's basically one should not do just thinking, okay, I can just do anything I want to because I'm a devotee. No, that's definitely not the way. When you think about it, Vasudeva was so deliberate in thinking what I should do, how can I save Devaki?
Well, yeah, and Kansa wasn't a devotee.
Yes.
Trying to cause him harm.
Yeah.
So it's different than dealing with a devotee or hurting somebody's feelings, like on purpose.
Yeah, hurting some devotee's feelings on purpose, that is not good. But sometimes devotee's feelings are hurt sometimes. This I will bring what I was going to speak a little bit. I cannot go into detail, but basically, when all the devotees came together at Kurukshetra for solar eclipse, and Vasudeva was the sponsor of the sacrifice that was going on there, and as we know that everybody from all different places, they came to attend the fire jagya, the sacrifice that Vasudeva performed, and to come to on solar eclipse for purification to the holy place. And at that stage, after Vasudeva had said goodbye to all the others, Nanda Maharaj was one who stayed there. And he stayed there longer. And Vasudev and all his relatives, they took care of Nanda Maharaj very nicely. And Nanda Maharaj describes commentaries, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that Nanda Maharaj, he kept on saying every day that, oh, I will leave tomorrow, I'll go this morning. But he couldn't go because he didn't want to leave Krishna. But not only that, he describes that he wanted to take Krishna back with him. Nanda Maharaj wanted to take Krishna back to him, to Vrindavan. But he didn't know how to break that news to Vasudev. So he didn't want to break his heart by saying that, I'm going to take Krishna back with me. But then he told Krishna that he wants to take him back. And Vasudev, and then Vasudev heard about it, and he said, now hear this. Vasudev and Ugrasen and others tried to pacify Nanda Maharaj so that he doesn't take Krishna with him. You know by what? They tried to pacify him with valuable gifts. When I read that, I remember reading this in our reading, and I felt so hurt. It actually was emotionally difficult for me to think that, how is that Vasudev was trying to pacify Nanda Maharaj by valuable gifts. And then it describes that, this is what's written here, and we already know Vasudev is good with diplomacy. So it's written that, well versed in the arts of diplomacy, Vasudev consulted with his most trustworthy advisors and satisfied Shri Nanda by telling him, my dear friend, now this is diplomacy, not that he was thinking that he's going to do that, or maybe he was thinking, and I'm not too sure, I don't think so, that happened. But he told him that, O King of Raja, it is of course true that none of you can live without Krishna, and how can we allow you to kill yourselves? Because Nanda said, you know, if Krishna doesn't come, we're going to kill ourselves. So he said, we can allow you to do that. Therefore, by all means, I must send Krishna back to Raj. But I will do that, but I will do so right after we accompany him and his relatives and friends, among them many helpless women, back to Dwarka. So Krishna has to take us, everybody, back to Dwarka. And once he goes there, then he says, this I swear to you 1,000 times over. After all, how can we who came here with Krishna go home without him? So I will let him leave for Raja at an auspicious time of the day, after he comes back to Dwarka. So this is what he told Nanda Maharaj. Vasudev said that, and he says, well versed in the arts of diplomacy. So you're talking about amongst devotees. So we see that here, Vasudev, with the well versed in the arts of diplomacy, told Nanda that, please, you go ahead, and I'll make sure that he comes to Braj. And then even Ugrasen said to Nanda Maharaj, my dear master of Braj, I bear witness to Vasudev's statement and take this solemn vow, I will send Krishna back to Braj even if I have to do it by force. So this is diplomacy amongst devotees. But when I was reading this again today for preparing for the class, although that time when I read it before, I was just like, I was thinking, how could Vasudev do that? But then today, yesterday when I was reading that, I was thinking that actually Vasudev is doing that for his love for Krishna. Out of his love for Krishna, he's keeping Krishna to himself. And if you really think about Vasudev and Devaki, they didn't get a chance to spend his childhood days, which is the sweetest, and now he just is possessive of him. How can you blame Vasudeva for that? How can you blame him? He doesn't want, he's thinking maybe if he let go of Krishna, then Krishna would not come. And there were other things that I was reading about how Devaki was feeling, seeing Yashoda there, and how the boys were with Mother Yashoda, and how Yashoda was her affection towards the boys. And so there's so much emotions there, that understanding that how Vasudev, why he acted the way he acted. So sometimes amongst devotees, maybe Nanda Maharaj, I don't know how Nanda Maharaj took that, or did he think bad about Vasudev? No, as Vaishnavas, when we see some things amongst Vaishnavas, maybe we're not able to see their point of view. Sometimes we have to open our heart and think, what is the difficulty that they're going through, that they may be acting in such a way? Is this devotee always accident in such a way? This devotee that I know is usually very good, and he's very such and such, and she's very such and such. Why is this devotee, is she on purpose, or is he on purpose doing that to me, to hurt me? Maybe not. Maybe we need to understand what their feelings are, or why they're acting. Or maybe they're acting with self-interest, and then you accept that, okay, maybe it's self-interest that they're acting with, and maybe that's for some reason that we don't understand. And maybe in time they will get purified, and maybe it's my time for me to be forgiving, like Vasudeva was so forgiving to Kamsa, that he, you know, it describes that he was very forgiving to Kamsa, and he'd act in a very sweet way with Kamsa. So,
We do not take revenge or anything, you know, if somebody like offends us, you know, we just understand that they did that, you know, and Krishna will put everything right, you know. So just mostly we should be concerned of us not doing that to somebody else.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
But if someone does it to me, okay.
Yes.
You know, Krishna, I know Krishna will set it right, you know.
Thank you, Sridevi. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, we don't do it for, if somebody else does it, we accept, but not to hear this pastime and think, oh, I can act however I want to. Yes, thank you very much for bringing that point. Okay, it's 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Question by Varuna Das. You quote verse Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana. But now we are living in COVID area. Frankly, I'm tired of this COVID virus. So much energy is focused on this. Even our leaders are affected by COVID. So what is the balance of thinking of COVID and thinking of Krishna with Akinchana? Thank you, Varuna. No matter what our situation is, COVID, not COVID, for me, I think that whatever the situation is, that we just continue to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to hear these great Vaishnavas, how they dealt with in their own COVID situation, so to speak. How they dealt with, and get inspiration, and continue to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That is our shelter, is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and hear the glories of the Vaishnavas. Krishna Kishore, thank you for the personal example and making us conscious of our Kamsa mentality, which is devoid of compassion. Lamar Gitar, it seems dangerous to me to excuse duplicitous conduct if it serves Lord Krishna. This reason can be easily abused. Yes, it can be easily abused, and so therefore we have to be, the only way It's a very rare thing, but if it is done, it has to be done in consultation with others. So yes, I have to be very careful. We have to see what kind of person was Vasudev. So important. Important to see his qualities. So do we have those qualities like Vasudev? Yes. Thank you. It's very important. And it, I cannot say that enough, and thank you for saying that. Krishna Kishore Prabhu, a couple verses back, Queen Kunti mentions her bewilderment about Krishna's innumerable expansions in various forms. I'm sure many of those forms have parents. Are they expansions of Vasudev, Devaki, Nanda Maharaj, and Yashoda? Or are those other jivas who get that privilege? Pangavinda Prabhu will answer that question. Krishna Kishore Prabhu further says, the definition of diplomatic is someone who can be sensitive in dealing with others and who can achieve peaceful resolutions or facilitate discussion, a person who doesn't take sides. In a fight, doesn't take sides, in a fight, but who instead help others to resolve their differences is an example of someone who is diplomatic. Yes. That's very true. That is what diplomatic means. And so when Prabhupada used the word duplicitous, I was just kind of shocked that he used that word, because diplomatic is something very good, actually. I'm a daughter of a diplomat. So in case where you wonder, sometimes devotee says, oh, you're very diplomatic. So it's something that is useful, is very useful. So Krishna Kishore says, Vasudev was being diplomatic, not duplicitous. That's what how I always took that. But Prabhupada uses the word duplicitous, so that was kind of like, I was a little, personally myself, I was a little shocked that he used that word twice in that. He used twice, though he used the word duplicitous, and once diplomatic. Well, duplicitous has a more of a negative. It's duplicitous has something where it's something about self-interest. It's not that you're trying to get, trying to make situations good for everybody, but duplicitous has a self-interest. So when I saw that word, Prabhupada using that, then I thought, well, here the word, why he may have used this, because he had self-interest in the sense of he wanted his wife not to be killed. And so he was externally just smiling and with great respect, you know, saying things to him and trying to protect his wife. So maybe that's why he used that word. That's what I thought. Vegvati, thanks for your thoughtful approach. Thank you, Vegvati. He's the most thoughtful person. Krishna Kishore, interesting, didn't know he used that word. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, that was in the purport. Duplicitous is more of a deceitful act. Yeah. So sometimes Prabhupada uses words that maybe it's not... Yeah, he used that word, and so...
Like we use contiguous. It doesn't sound good, but Prabhupada said, yes, contiguous. We understand what that means.
Yeah.
The word contiguous sounds like a virus, infection. Prabhupada said, get infected.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, we offer our obeisances to what Prabhupada says and try to understand why he used, and that really caught me when I was studying for this. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Jai. All.
Wait.
Oh, okay. No.
Hare Krishna. This is a quote from Krishna book.
Okay.
You remember that, everybody?
Yes.
That's a book Prabhupada gave us.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada says, I just love this quote. I've given this to many devotees, especially when they like to support book distribution. Prabhupada says, anyone who attentively hears the narration of Lord Krishna's pastimes or supports a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement will certainly find it very easy to traverse the path of liberation and taste the nectar of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And this will be he will be engaged in the Lord's service eternally. Now that's something that you can write on your hand.
Thank you. Thank you for that nice quote. Thank you. Jai, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Vasudev and to Vasudev. Jai.